From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. This Saturday, Bartlett Regional Hospital is hosting a walk-slash-run event to raise awareness for mental health and trauma related to pregnancy and motherhood. According to the Cleveland Clinic, 1 in 7 new parents experience postpartum depression. The National Library of Medicine estimates that up to 25% of known pregnancies end in miscarriage. With these statistics in mind, Bartlett's obstetrics education team began offering monthly support groups for mothers in February of 2021. They call the program Real Talk.
It is dedicated to having some real honest conversation about some of the parts of motherhood that are more challenging and not always discussed in some of the other spaces that are available for mothers and new parents.
Sarah Gress is a nurse and educator at Bartlett. She spoke about the program on Juneau Afternoon. These support groups are also offered through Zoom, so people outside of Juneau can access them too.
It is, and even if folks didn't deliver with us, we're happy to have them participate and access these resources from their communities. If they have a telephone, they can call in on Zoom and meet with us for these sessions.
For Saturday's race, Gress says that the race bibs will have a space for participants to indicate anyone in particular that they're running or walking in support of. And COVID disrupted a lot of the community activities that we used to take for granted. Just last month, Bingo Nights started up again at the Filipino Community Hall in downtown Juneau after more than 2.5 years. KTOO's Adeline Baxter stopped by to check it out.
I hope so. I better.
It's Thursday night, and the Bingo Hall is buzzing. A few dozen people, mostly seniors, but not all of them, are clustered around long tables, waiting for the games to begin. Some are playing cribbage or cards or just chatting. Nan Hotch says she comes here every Thursday and Saturday. She doesn't win much, but she enjoys catching up with other regulars.
Be with all the friends you can't go see all that much anymore, so get to come here and visit.
It costs $21 to play. That gets you 13 games of bingo. The total payout for the night is $5,000. Dante Reyes is the vice president for Filipino Community, Inc.
We were out of our gaming operations for about 2.5 years. And that's why we lost a lot of revenue.
That money not only keeps the lights on and the roof from leaking, but helps the organization pay for annual scholarships for students and hold cultural events. The building is more than 100 years old, and it needs repairs and upgrades. The bingo boards aren't that old, but they have their own issues. Bingo manager Sila Garcia says they're hoping to replace them.
Yeah, there's still a lot of bugs and fixes that we need to figure out, but hopefully we don't have to. We can just get a whole new system.
On a typical night, Garcia says they see 60 to 80 patrons and make up to $10,000 in gross sales.
Dividend just hit, so we're kind of at our high peak right now, so people still have money to spend.
When the bingo caller takes their seat behind the box of floating balls, it's time to start. It takes about 15 minutes, and sometimes a few false alarms, before each game comes to an end. As soon as that happens, it's on to the next one. One game is called the Filipino Special. That's the one with the $1,000 prize.
It used to be called Italian, but it didn't make sense to me, so I changed to Filipino.
The numbers come fast, and the winning pattern changes with each game. It's hard to keep up for a first-timer. But most veteran players have multiple cards going at once to increase their chances. Reyes says it's nice to see the same faces every week again.
So they want to go here, have camaraderie, as you can see from the hall. They're playing some cards with them, storytelling about what happened during the last previous days for the bingo and telling about their grandkids and what happened.
Shannon Bible sits at the end of a table with a friend, diligently marking numbers on her cards. She's glad to be back and says it's nice to have somewhere other than the bars to go to socialize. But she said it's not exactly the same as before.
Yeah, it's kind of sad too at the same time because a lot of people that were regulars are no longer here. Yep, a lot of people that used to come here are no longer with us.
2.5 years is a long time, especially during a global pandemic. But for now, it's nice to have a little slice of normalcy back and maybe a chance to win big too. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
And in Juneau, there's a concerning lack of interest in running for local office or serving on the city boards and commissions that hold the community together. Is it possible that the pandemic has burned us all out, even on civic engagement? For at least one guy in town, the answer is not yet. KTOO's Jennifer Pemberton has the story.
In Alaska's small capital city, no one has challenged any of the seats on the city council or the school board this year. That wasn't the case last year. In the fall of 2021, there were seven candidates vying for two seats on the local school board. The Delta wave of the pandemic was in full swing, masks were required at schools, and there was suddenly a lot of interest in local government. The candidates' Zoom debate was very contentious.
Forced masking, I'm against. I want parents to make that decision.
As pandemics go, this one is not historically as threatening as, say, the Spanish flu or swine flu.
Let's just say it needed a lot of fact-checking.
The bubonic plague of the 1300s. I have a problem.
Juneau resident Will Muldoon was listening to the debate that night. He didn't like what he heard.
I was at home watching the football game, and 25 people called me encouraging me to run. And so that kind of felt like the critical mass for me.
So he launched a write-in campaign for the school board less than 2 weeks before the election. And he won. It was the first time someone in Juneau had won any election as a write-in in almost 30 years. Will Muldoon works as a data analyst for the state of Alaska. He's single and he doesn't have kids, but he really likes meetings.
I have adopted a highway here and I'm required to be on a safety committee for that. I am also on the Disability Law Center.
And he's kind of a civic engagement superhero.
I'm the chair of the Aquatics Board. I'm the vice chair of the Parks Board. And I am the facilities chair for the Board of Education. So six total. That's a lot. Probably too many.
The school board takes the most time and energy, though.
The one thing I really didn't fully consider was just how much of your life it takes over.
There are the meetings, of course, but there's also homework between the meetings and hours of reading emails each week from parents. People don't usually write in to tell board members they're doing a good job. The tone is often less than civil.
I spend the time every night reading the emails, and that's been, it's tough because I think with schools in particular, I feel personally that it's not my job to tell people how to raise their kids or even really have an opinion on that.
But it is his job to help make policies informed by the public on the school's role in their kids' lives. So he answers the phone. He responds to the emails. He engages. People often ask him if he enjoys serving on the school board.
Enjoy is never the word I'm going to use in my top five adjectives.
But he thinks the work is valid and important, and he's still enthusiastic about recommending that other people run for local office, too. He was bummed when no one ran against him or anyone else for a seat on the school board this year.
It's been a difficult year. Like, I get choked up thinking about it. But I also wish I was more eloquent in conveying the enrichment and the fulfillment that comes with that.
The stipend for that work in Juneau is $270 a month. It's a pretty thankless job, as is serving on any city board or commission as a volunteer or even as an elected official. But all of these roles are mission critical for democracy. And Muldoon's advice is always going to be to go for it, even if you lose. He ran for school board twice before he won last year. The first time when he was 18 years old and still in school himself.
I wish that people would run and not be afraid to lose, because losing is not fun that night. It's not fun that week, but it isn't fatal. And if your end goal is to be engaging and advocating for the things that you believe in, losing's a real good door opener for that.
In Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton, and this is America Amplified.
This story is part of a national series called Democracy from the Ground Up from America Amplified, a CPB-funded initiative to support community engagement journalism in public media. And as Indigenous people from around the state gathered at Anchorage's Dena'ina Center for the Alaska Federation of Natives Convention, more than 100 people rallied in the rain several blocks over. The group of Alaska Native advocates pushed for environmental and climate action. They held signs that said, defend the sacred, protect the Arctic, and gave speeches at Town Square Park, noting the recent record storms and declines in subsistence foods. Charles Wright, with the Tanana Chiefs Conference, grew up in the Yukon River community of Rampart and spoke about the decline in fish in the region.
Our people are hurting. They're almost starving. Yeah, some people don't have any other means. They don't have stores. They're the ones that need to be taken care of, the ones that we need to have voices for.
The rally was put on by several nonprofit organizations, including United Tribes of Bristol Bay and Native Movement. You're listening to KTOO. Visit ktoo.org for more local stories.